nature with all our love for every generation. Preserve our world with all our love. General, what are we?
How do you make soil?
Why does being in nature make you happy?
How much seaweed is there?
My name is Anne-Marie, founder of Child of the Wild Nature Group and Podcast. This is a podcast by children for children to connect to nature. The children will ask experts important questions about the world. We will work together to answer the questions and find solutions for the future and for preservation of our planet. Today I would like to introduce our expert of the week, Gregorio, who takes children out into the ocean every summer to show them the magic and the wonders of the underwater world. So today we're going to talk about the ocean with the children. We have Otto. Say hello, Otto.
Hello.
Say hello, Luca.
Hello.
Say hello, Delilah.
Hi.
So our question of the week is...
How many fish are left in the sea?
So what do you think about that question, Gregorio?
According to some studies, we've got about 3.5 trillion. Now, that is 3 with 12 zeros behind, so that's a lot of fish. However, that is not what we should be concerned about. What we should be concerned about is how fast are we losing the fish that we have in the ocean, and how smart are we being and respectful are we being about keeping fish to feed us and to populate the sea. And that's a whole other story.
So what do you think we should be doing, especially in Ibiza, the children in Ibiza, what could we do in a different way to help? Is there anything we can do to help?
There are many things that can be done. I think Ibiza has made a lot of improvements as far as fishing, how we do it, how frequently we do it, how much we catch. And the practices that are being put forth right now on boats do stick to rules that are very, very respectful of the sea. Having said that, the problem is not so much the catching of the fish. It's mostly the plastic and the other elements that end up in the sea and that should never be there. That has a more complex solution. So plastics, two problems, main ones. We are doing a very poor job of revising exactly what kind of waters end up in the waters in the Sea of Ibiza. And I know that the waters that I swam in and snorkeled in since the 70s are nowhere today what they should be 50 years later. I think for anyone who spends, like I do, 6 months of the year in the water at least 4 hours a day, I know what I see in front of my eyes. And I think it's delusional to pretend that the waters of Ibiza are as pristine as they once were or they should be. And I think it's our responsibility to do that. I picked up the other day in Calabasa bottles, glass bottles that were thrown in by the water. I cannot believe that people would do that. So my advice to you is not only, which I'm sure you do, make sure that you never leave things behind you at the beach. But also, if you see people who are behaving in a way that shouldn't be, you should not hesitate to tell them, please pick up your cigarette that you just buried in the sand. Please take out that bottle that you just threw into the sea and take it out. Because the planet and the sea is now yours. You're young and you are going to live in it for many, many years. So you have to tell those that do not behave well to behave the way they should and respect the ocean. The other thing that you can do is to learn to love the sea as much as you can and to enjoy it. And the best way that I know to enjoy it, although there's many ways, is to put on a mask and snorkel and see the wonders that happen underwater. All the creatures that we see, from sea sponges, sea urchins, eels, colorful fish. So many things to look at and learn from and enjoy. So I invite you to do that. Because it's thrilling, it's beautiful, and it makes us see how lucky we are that we have the sea in our lives.
Why is the water murky?
Well, it wasn't when I was a kid, when I was your age, but it's getting worse because we're not doing our job and respecting the sea as much as we should because we're letting things end up in the sea, mostly plastics. We live in an island, and so it's very easy that if we're not careful, with a bit of wind, it'll end up in the sea. And it's all very good when we clean up beaches and we do beach cleanups like we do. But that's only doing half the job. It's like cleaning only half of your house. Because all the things that end up in the sea eventually end up at the bottom of the sea. And I know that because I come out of the water with my bathing suit full of stuff that I pick up while I'm snorkeling. So it's important that we never allow the plastic to get there.
How much seaweed is that?
Well, it's very difficult to calculate that. But let me tell you, around Ibiza, for instance, we have this sea plant. The difference with seaweed is that sea plant actually is exactly like a plant with roots, and it has a trunk and it has flowers as well. And what it does is it produces a lot of oxygen. We have it all around the island of Ibiza. And it's fantastic because it's the home for so many different species that like to get their food and protect themselves in that sea plant. Also, the sea plant is fairly high. It's almost about, 3 feet tall. So what happens is that when the waters and the waves and the winter storms come, these plants will actually soften the effect of the waves. And by the time the waves arrive to the coast, they don't damage the sand as much. Also, it's been calculated that this sea plant can create more oxygen than the same space in the rainforest in the Amazon. So it is an incredibly efficient oxygen producer. And oxygen, what it does is it cleans the waters. That's why, that's one of the reasons we have such clean waters in Ibiza, is because of this plant, the Posidonia, as it's called, or in English also known as Neptune grass. And it's one of the most important things that we have in Ibiza, but it's extremely, extremely delicate. That's why we need clean waters to allow them to continue growing, and that we don't always have. We also need to be careful of boats who drop their anchors and then drag them to the bottom, and then they pull up a plant that dies immediately and takes a long, long time to be born again. But we have a stretch of 8 kilometers almost that goes from Salinas to Formentera. And that's estimated to be 100,000 years old.
So what's your biggest fish, or what's your most favorite thing that you've ever seen in the sea?
In Ibiza, two things that really caught my heart and my eye, both. It was a swordfish. I've seen that several times in winter. And it must have been at least 7 foot long. With the sword, and they like to jump out of the water and splash and fall on their backs and swim under again and come up with this tremendous impulse and jump up several feet in the air and fall again. That's always spectacular to see. And then my personal favorite since I was a kid was always trying to find and identify the homes of octopus. And I love still seeing how they move, how they're able to hide whenever we watch them, and they're able to put in the same color as the rock that's right behind them. So they'll go to from brown, because the rock is brown, and then they'll move a few feet forward, and they'll turn completely white because the sand is right underneath them. So they're able to imitate the color of wherever it is that they're swimming through. Not only color, they're also able to create these little points that they do, or spikes in their own skin, if they're against rock. So they look exactly like the rock. They're very, very clever animals, and that's why I love watching them, and they're very graceful when they swim as well.
Why your octopus is so clever?
Well, because they have an immense advantage over us, and that's that they have 3 brains, as it's been studied and ascertained, and we only have one. So that makes them very clever. Also, when you are a creature at sea that a lot of threats surround you, you tend to become a very alert and observing and cautious animal. And the octopus has had to deal with many adversities always. And that's why they're very, very clever animals. And when we watch their behavior over a period of time, we cannot stop to marvel at how smart and intelligent they are.
When can we come on your boat and see them?
It's true that over the summer we ran into octopus quite a few times, but you can't always be sure that we're going to see them. I had several times this summer octopus that, perhaps because I always go in the same place, at the same hour, they wait for me and they go up my leg. And then it's very simple to just grab them and say hello to them. And if you're very careful and you just let them put their arms around yours, then it's quite all right, and they'll stay there quite happily as long as you keep it in the water, and they'll stay with you and play with you, and then you have to let them go. But you can come see me and do this between May and October, Every day we leave from San Antonio or from Santa Eulalia. San Antonio, we like to go to Conejera Island, the island that's right across from San Antonio with the lighthouse, because it's a beautiful natural reserve and a very quiet and beautiful spot filled with marine life and different kinds of species that we can see live during a snorkeling tour, where we learn and see a lot of species.
So thank you very much, Gregorio. What do you say, everybody, to Gregorio for taking his time out today?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys, for your wonderful questions. I'll see you at sea. Keep enjoying it and respecting it.
Thank you so much for taking your time out today, and thank you for joining us for the very first Child of the Wild podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.